Welcome to the Gentleman Project Podcast. I'm Kirk Chug.
And I'm Corey Moore. Today we have a friend of mine, Justin Stewart, on the podcast. I think we were originally introduced by my dad and my little brother via the golf course.
Yes.
Isn't that
Imagine
right?
that. Imagine
that. That's not a common theme.
But our first round together, I was like, I like this guy. He's awesome. He's fun. And we've had multiple different outings playing golf, some business things we've done together. And I've called Justin and begged him when I've had major issues, floods and things at my house. So we've become good friends. Justin, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, you guys, I sure appreciate being here. It's an honor for me. I feel like I'm the student. I don't know why I'm sitting here. You guys just tell us more. But yeah, it's, I don't know, what was it, 10 years ago now?
Probably.
Maybe.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been great. But I actually met Kurt a few years ago. And he remembered very clearly when we met. So it was nice.
Yeah. And it was cool to make that connection today.
So Justin, tell us a little bit about what you do and a little bit about your family.
I grew up in Ogden. I still live there now. 37 years old. I work in construction. Like Corey mentioned, I cleaned up floods for several years, but now we've kind of pivoted to more building homes, developing land. We finished a lot of basements. A lot of the big builders don't like it, and we love it. So cool. We do a lot of those. Cool. You know, I was probably a late bloomer for our community. Getting married, I was 31. But at 31, I met Melissa. And I probably should put a disclaimer. I get emotional for three topics: family, faith, and freedom. So if I hear the national anthem, we're in trouble. If I talk about my family, we're in trouble. So I'm going to keep it together today.
We may well talk about all those things. Yeah, so good luck today.
I might be in trouble today, guys.
There might be a lot of minutes on the cutting room floor today.
Yeah. So, So I met my wife in April. That year we met, and then we were married in September. And then we had our first boy, Gus, that August following. So we almost made it a year without having a boy, but we had Gus right before our 1 year anniversary. He's 5 now. And then we had Wes just a couple years after that. So he's 3. And they are 100% boy. If it wasn't for my wife, they would climb up the tree and see how far they could jump off and just see what happens. So bless her heart. She, I don't know if she realizes what she got into. She grew up with mostly sisters and then had a younger brother that was significantly younger. And she doesn't know that the boys just wrestle all day long, every day. So that's the coolest thing.
Yeah, I actually remember when you had your first son, Gus, right?
Yeah.
And I remember talking to you about it, like when it was getting close. And then I remember it was probably played golf maybe, it wasn't that long after. Weeks or after. And you were just beaming from ear to ear because you'd had a boy and you were so excited.
No, I was just going to say it was, first kid, first try, and I got my boy. So I was like, oh, whatever happens now is great. Like, I won in my mind. So I was good to go.
So tell us what happened to you, like, as Justin. How did your life change from that moment that you became a dad?
Well, kind of like Corey mentioned, we met on the golf course. I played a lot of golf with his dad, with his younger brother, Braden. Honestly, the two things that changed, one, I was probably playing golf 7 days a week. And that was, work and golf was the priority. And that's it, it seemed like. And then I met Melissa. And then that changed everything. My priority was her. And then within a year, we had Gus. And then that was the priority. And everyone always says, you can't describe how much you love those kids. You can't describe it. Like, come on, man. Like, you love them. I get it. Like, I love my brother. I love my sister, my mom, dad, cousins, family, friends, whatever. But I can't explain how much those kids mean. And so the biggest thing was my priority and what mattered to me. I was always available to go play with buddies or friends or family. But that was the biggest change was, I'm not always available. I'm always available for her, Melissa, and Gus and Wes.
The way it should be.
Yeah.
The way it should be.
Well, I mean, you talk about you talk about priorities, and you know those were your priorities when you were younger. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that priority is tied to time.
Yeah.
And we all have our priorities, you know, that, that we have as providers or, you know, as parents that we provide a good environment for our kids. But after that, we translate priorities with where we spend our time. And subconsciously, it doesn't matter if, you know, our face is stuck in a phone at night and we're home. Our time is not being shared with our kids. They see mom or dad's not there.
Yeah.
And you being home during that time doesn't really matter unless you're kind of checked in. So the habit of being present, I think, and identifying, making sure that the people that are a priority know it.
Yeah. And these kids, they're so smart. Even at this young age, like, you know, I mean, I'm guilty. I get caught on my phone. Something will come up with work or whatever it may be. And he's like, Dad, put your phone down. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
He's five. Like, that's awesome.
Like, oh, you're right. Will you go throw this out in the ditch? Like, get rid of it. Like, yes, I'm sorry. My fault. Yeah. So they notice, and it's I can't get anything by him.
Yeah.
So they know what's going on.
They're smart kids.
Yeah.
I knew shortly after meeting you and then certainly through the years that you were already a gentleman, that you were this, that kind of guy. Justin's kind and thoughtful and selfless, and he just has that personality, right? And you had to get that from somewhere. So I want to ask you, talk to us a little bit about some of the things you learned growing up and how you're trying to pass those on to your boys now.
Obviously, I've thought about that question a lot this last week because I figured it'd come up, but mostly because I want to instill certain things in my boys and I want to know where they came from. You know, why do I feel that way? And there's several people that have instilled that. Obviously my dad, you know, he was in the military. It's funny. I look back and I think God, he was gone a lot. Like with the different, you know, his job in the military or whatnot, he was gone a lot. But then actually, my parents split this last year, and so we were cleaning their house out. And so all those pictures of kids, like, you know, growing up, holy crap, like, he was a coach of every team I was on in a little league. I'm like, how was he gone so much? You got to be proactive, and you got to be present. When he was there, he was obviously present because I knew he was gone, but I don't have that feeling of, oh, Dad was gone a lot. Like, we grew up with horses, and so that was a big responsibility as a 10-year-old, having a horse that just had a baby, and I'm 10 or 12 at the time. Oh, hey, by the way, bud, you gotta take care of this brand-new horse. Oh, okay. You know, so
you didn't know any different. It was just the way it was.
Going out of town. Yeah, and so I think part of it was, you know, his example of you just got to work hard. You got to show up. You got to do what you can do. But I had to just kind of figure it out, whether that was something he taught on purpose or whether that's something I just figured out by sheer luck. You just got to figure it out sometimes. You guys did a podcast with Corey's dad. I don't know, it was a year ago almost. I mean, yeah, it was one of the first 10, right?
Probably, it was a while ago, yeah.
And I'll bet I've listened to that a dozen times because I know the stories and I know the conversations they had and the things they expressed are real because I get that same example from Corey and from Rob. And so those Corey and Rob are big examples to me. And I look and I watch and I try to see. And, you know, this podcast, for one, has been huge for me to be like, okay, well, this is what I think and this is what I'm doing. But this is what all these great guys and all this, like, all these great people, what they're doing. So how do I incorporate that into my life as a dad? And then listen to that conversation with Rob. I can't not get emotional when I listen to it because I know Rob, there's nothing more important than his kids. You know, and I get lucky that I'm a guy and Rob has three kids, two boys and a girl, so I get to fill that foursome. So to me, it's like there's nothing I look forward to more than me playing with my two boys and dragging someone along, right? But it's like I see Rob, Corey, and Brayden, and then I see that with my two boys. I love that, and I can't wait for that, you know, that to happen. That same thing.
I think that's important what you brought up about like letting your kids learn by doing, not hovering over them and making sure that they're doing it right. We learn by our mistakes, right? And then that habit loop of solving those problems comes back and we are actually able to say, last time I did this, it didn't work. This time I'm going to try it this way. And when it does work, our subconscious pays attention to that. And then that becomes a habit of trying to figure things out on your own. I remember once my grandfather, he goes, "Hey man, I gotta go take care of this fence. Why don't you put a window in that wall?"
Oh yeah, you told me this story. It's a good one.
I haven't said this on the podcast yet, have I?
I don't think so, no.
And I was 13.
Yeah.
And we had just built this bunkhouse, and he's, "There's a window over there in the barn. Why don't you put that window in that wall? You want me to cut a hole in the wall of the wall that we just put up?" And he's like, "Yeah. And if you need something, you can ask me questions, but I'll just be over there in the North 40. And he left me to do this. Mm-hmm. And every single time I look at that window in that wall now, it's still there. I go, he was crazy to trust me with that. But I learned that part of construction. I learned that you can cut a hole in a wall and it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
And
whatever it might be, right?
Everything it's applied to that. Because that was like the biggest thing in the world to a 13-year-old kid. Like, oh, grandpa's trusting me with this.
Yeah.
What else is he going to trust me with, right? Yeah. And I figured it out. And it's not perfect. It's tilted slightly to the left.
But it worked.
But it worked. But I remember that was the first time I think somebody purposefully let me fail on purpose or learn on my own. And I don't think that you can overstress the value of that for kids, letting them figure things out.
Well, yeah. I mean, could your grandpa done it quicker and easier and better probably at that time?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I listened to the podcast from last week, Two Goats. So we have two goats as well. And they're ridiculous. What am I doing with goats?
The podcast title will be called Two Goats.
Yeah, right. Another guy with goats. But I'm putting up a fence. And my boys, like, they want to be in the action. They want to be, you know, tying lines or putting the fence up on the fence post, pounding the post pounder. I'm like, "Yeah, post pounder's as big as you, bud." But it's like, I could see, I was like, "Oh, that's me and my dad." Because that's the same thing we did, right? Like, it was, "Oh, I'm fixing fence with the horses." Friends are like, "What?" Like, I didn't grow up in an environment where fixing fence was a normal thing. And I'm sure I screwed it up bad a lot of times because I was always fixing something. So it's probably fixing my own mistake. But no, the kids are smart and they'll figure it out. But I think they get a kick out of the trust that we put in them when we allow them to do it. And obviously you remember that story from how many years ago was that, right?
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, that was 30 years ago.
I'm not sure I'm always good at that. I think that's something I could improve on. I think it was Ryan Moss' podcast that he said, you know, not positive it was his, but someone had said, "Hey, we tell our kids we need to climb this mountain. And then we put them in the back of the Range Rover and turn on the air conditioning and help them drive up."
That was Ryan. Yeah.
That's a waste. You know, he said it better and more eloquently than I am. But the point is, they need to climb the mountain. And you just need to be there to help them if they fall. Mm-hmm. And then just tell them to keep climbing the mountain, right? Whatever that task might be, whether it's the farm, cutting the grass, figuring out a problem at school, you name it, right?
Paul said last week, like letting your 16-year-old navigate the DMV by himself.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
like, good luck. Don't send me there. Hun, can you go take care of that? Like, no way. But they're smart enough. They're strong enough. And I just think if we're there just to kind of, like you said, climb the mountain, hey, look, you can do it. You can do it. They'll figure it out. They're strong. They're smart. So that's huge. That's huge.
So you mentioned hard work, and that's something that you learned and you're imparting to your kids, right?
Yeah.
What are some of the other values or principles that you're trying to or hope to like instill in your boys?
So one of the things that's important to myself and my wife is faith. You know, they need to have faith, and that, you know, that can be in a spiritual setting, and that can be in themselves. They need to believe in themselves. They need to believe that they can do it. And I, you know, as a dad, and I think that's my job. A big part of it is telling those boys and teaching those two, you guys can do it. Another big thing, obviously, work hard and teaching them how to have fun and enjoy life. It's I don't want to rag on Nintendo or playing games or playing on your phone, but I just be outside, do something, be anxiously engaged with something active outside, whether it's golf, whether it's, you know, hiking, backpacking, skiing, whatever it is, get outside and do something and have fun. And that's okay to have fun. So,
no, I think you made a good correlation there that I'm not sure we've talked about before, but I think is super important. You talked about, you know, letting them do things on their own, figure it out on their own. It's not going to be easy. Teaching them that there's going to be hard work to climb that mountain, as we call it.
Yeah.
But you're there saying you can do it, instilling confidence, instilling faith. And I think that is a really good recipe for a parent to internalize, right? Give them all the confidence and that they can do it. Just tell them they're amazing. And when they fall off or mess up, keep telling them they're amazing. You know, yeah. Keep telling them they can do it and that, yep, that's part of the learning. That's what you're supposed to do is sometimes you're going to get bucked off. But that correlation of instilling confidence, which I think is easy to forget. It's easy to be mad because they spilt the milk or be mad because they, you know, did whatever, don't know how to do something. But I think it's more important that we inspire our kids to have confidence that they can do the hard things.
I think in the lives of each kid, doesn't matter who they are, there comes a day that they lose the faith that they can be anything they want to be.
Yeah, I hate that.
And and that happens? Comes through conditioning, through what the world tells them and what we tell them, and they focus on what gets brought up. Yeah. So if we focus on, you know what you're really good at? Like, you are fantastic at that. Well, guess what? You're reinforcing that positive loop of, I can do that well. I am good at that. But if we say, man, your room is always messy.
Yeah.
Guess what? Their room's probably going to stay messy. And at some point, like, every kid believes that they can be the president or an astronaut or whatever it is. And at some point, there's a day in each kid's life that they stop believing that. And that's our job to let them know, guess what? That's not true. And actually, this is just coming back to me now. I was watching your wife's Instagram, and she puts a note in the kids' lunches every day. And the note this morning was, you can be anything you want to be. I just remembered that.
Good job.
Good job, wife. Yeah.
You're awesome.
So I think what we're getting at here is maybe just follow the wives more.
That's for dang sure.
Listen and follow more, maybe.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
Well, they do teach us a lot of how to be a gentleman, right? Through, we often get the perspective from friends, and granted, we have a lot more men on the podcast because we kind of draw from the people that we know, that we respect, and that do a great job. And Corey's in construction and I'm in men's clothing. So our natural,
universe
is men. But, we actually, have some plans to have some more women on because they do have that perspective that I wish the gentlemen in my life were a little bit more this way. So we're going to do better about having more women on in 2022.
Yeah.
And, I think that'll provide us a good perspective.
No, for sure. I think when Corey, you guys called me last week and I was thinking about this and was talking about it with my wife, we started writing some things down and some thoughts that, you know, were important to us. And the more and more we wrote down, the more and more I thought, well, that's your idea. Well, that was you. That was you. This is your thought. You kind of kicked this thing off. You, I'm like, okay, so I'll just be the voice here for a minute then.
Well, you know, that's cool. Give her props for what she brings to the marriage. You know, like you're a team, and sometimes in a partnership, one person does more than the other person, it seems that way. Yeah. But, you know, seeing the value of doing that as a partnership with your wife, that's pretty cool that you can lead and follow at the same time. That's possible.
Yeah. She's amazing, and I'm lucky.
So what did you guys talk about? I mean, what do you guys worry about with your kids, or what do you, you know, what did you guys talk about on like, hey, we should be doing this, or what are some of the things that you're doing together to try to mold them?
Yeah. So our kids are still young, right? Five and three. So what serious conversations can we have right now? You know, like you just mentioned, you know, he's not going to go to the DMV and conquer that routine right now. Like, so the things that we try to focus on at this point are just engraving positive memories in them, because I mean, it's crazy. We'll be driving somewhere and my boy will be like, oh, we came here one time. That was 2 years ago. You're five. So that was three. You were three when this happened. So they don't forget. And so we try to create memories or moments or lessons, whether it be, hey, you got to work hard before you play, or whatever it is. It's not necessarily a conversation we have with them more. It's an action. It's, this is what we do. This is just how we do it. And my wife, she started this too. I can't remember where she got it from, but daily affirmations. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so awesome. Every day when she drives my boy to preschool, they say it. And so she had an operation a couple months ago. And so I got lucky enough to drive him to preschool for a couple weeks. That was cool. By the way, I wish I could do that more. But he's like, Dad, we got to say, I can't remember what he called it, but I forgot what he was talking about. And so then I picked up on it and we started doing it every day and on the way up there. And those are just fun things. But he remembered it. You know, it's like they're like, it's I'm strong, I'm smart. You know, I'm capable of doing anything. I work hard. I'm a good friend. I'm kind.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
That's a good one for those listening, especially with younger kids, right? Because they will internalize those. They will remember them. Even at five.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, doing those affirmations was in his feedback loop. That was a habit that he had already developed. And when he pulled up to school or passed a certain point in the road, his brain said, I need to do my affirmations.
Yeah. He knew exactly.
Doesn't matter that mom wasn't there that day. So that's cool because he's internalizing those things independently of an adult.
And when he gets to 8, 9, 10, and there's other kids, you know, being mean sometime, or it's tough, something at school's tough or whatever. And then into the teenage years, especially, those positive affirmations are going to matter a lot more than I think we believe. The other thing that I want to tell you, Justin, is one of the cool things we did is we do forget as parents, even though they don't forget, we do. Mm-hmm. Oh, so one of the things my wife did, we did together, I guess, is we started writing down those dangest things they say when they're 2 to 6, 7, and just writing those little statements and just keeping track of them. And then we put those in like these photo books. We put those little quotes in like in a photo book later.
Yeah.
So we have, you know, I wish we had more. We probably have 20 or so quotes. Yeah. I wish I had 100 because there were 100.
Well, there is.
I just didn't write them down. Yeah. So just put something on your counter that you can quickly write down like what they said, because that's actually so fun to have later.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat. Like we tried to do that and wish we would have done more of it. We called it the Chug-tionary. Yeah. And we left it on the counter and we're like, oh man, we've got to remember that. That was hilarious. And you know what my kids love to do? They love to read that book.
Oh yeah.
They love to get out like, oh, I remember when I said that. Oh, that was embarrassing. Let's forget that one, you know, but they love those memories. And the more often that you revisit those memories, the more you go back to creating, you know, like you said, Justin, having a positive experience that reinforces something that they learned or that they felt there. Yeah. And when they're 3 to 5, they're probably going to be going more back to how they felt when they were there. That they felt love and acceptance and, you know, belonging to a family unit. And we had fun when we came here. And those things, you know, you can build upon those. My boys were 5 before we started the Gentleman Project. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, they're too young to start talking about these types of things.
Yeah.
And I think it's, you know, individually based, but I thought it was too young to start. And then I started doing it and I went, no, they understand it.
No, they do. 100%.
They totally get this. And it blew my mind that I was having these conversations with my sons who were 5 about honesty and integrity and doing the right thing when nobody's looking and being thrifty and treating your mom with respect and being kind to your sisters, because that's what a gentleman does.
Right.
And I went, huh, I guess it wasn't too early to start, you know?
No, it's not. I mean, I think, you know, we want to create a bond with our kids and we want to teach them. And, you know, like one other little thing we do is I have a secret handshake with each of the boys. It's different. Each boy has his own, and they kind of made it up. And whenever I leave for work or whether they go to school or whatever it is, if one of us is leaving or going, we always do it. And they remind me every time. And so those little bonds, and I even see how my my older boy, how he interacts with his cousins, because he's just him and his brother, but his cousins are girls his age. And so I see the way he treats them, and he's a sweet kid. Like, he's nice. And it's like, okay, well, maybe when we say be nice to others, he's actually listening, you know, be kind to them.
Yeah, there's no doubt. So one of the things that has made me a different person, in addition to like people influence, has been books that have influenced me, right? And or mantras that have influenced me. So is there any books or mantras that you grew up with or that you are going to eventually, I mean, your 5-year-olds aren't reading books, but, or 3-year-old, but are there books or mantras that you feel like are your family's or things that you're going to take forward with your family?
So, yeah, there is. One of the things, he's like a super CrossFit guy, and if you know me, that's not me, like, at all. Like, I'm the guy in a golf cart driving around, not the guy at the gym.
Not lifting the golf cart.
No. But there, we found this quote, not really a quote, but more of a story, but it's Into the Storm. And this guy, he raises a bison ranch. And I don't know if I love this quote because I have this dream of owning my own bison ranch one day. But it's a bison, when they're in trouble or when a storm's coming, they go straight to the storm. They face it. A cow, cattle, they run away. And so that's something, you know, that we try to share with our boys. Like, look, if there's a problem, just go deal with it. Just get it done and let's move on. You know, as far as books, obviously, you know, we read the kids' books now. But there's two books that I've read recently that have really helped me focus in on what I want to do and how I want to do it. And obviously there's religious books that I'll share with the boys. And, you know, this is, you know, kind of going back to, this is where you're going to gain faith, whether it be in a spiritual or whether it be in yourself. But Essentialism and Atomic Habits. And I'm sure everyone knows about them and everyone reads them.
Just reading it today, actually.
I just think there's so many things we can do. Nowadays, there's so many ways to do it, whether it be books to read, whether it be mantras or whatnot. But those two books have helped me realize, look, just pick something and be good at it and work your tail off. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. And so if you want to be a nice person, we'll focus on that. Be a nice person. If you want to be good at designing clothes or construction, whatever it is, do it and focus on it. You know, there's so many places to get information. There's so many different ways to go about life. Just pick something and focus on it and you'll be good.
Yeah. I love that. It'll the 1%.
Yeah. The 1%
better. Like, you don't have to, you don't have to go from being a couch potato to running an Ironman triathlon. Like, no. Just get off.
I can get off the couch.
Get off the couch for 5 extra minutes a day.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and that's, I love that concept of 1% better.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah, we have a picture of a paper of it up in our office. 1%.
Cool.
And it's great. So,
yeah, that.
Well, and I think there's a lot of dads listening and moms that, you know, you can get easily overwhelmed with the treadmill of work and driving the kids around and, right?
Right.
And I think I've been that way. I've been in a place where I'm like, well, I really want to do these things with the kids and I can't get to some of them. Right. Yeah. Or I forget, or I get wrapped up in a big deal or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, so I think this idea of, hey, just do one thing on your list of 10 things you want to do with your kids, do one. And if that's, you only do that one for like a year, that's fine. Mm-hmm. And then you can add another one later,
right,
or replace that one with a new one because they got older or because they need something different. But it can get overwhelming is what I'm saying. And it doesn't need to be if you can just realize 100%. That you don't need to do everything that could possibly be done.
100%. And as a society, what we do is we say, oh yeah, you've got to be a better parent. You got to be a better dad. Like, come on, put your phone down.
We say more is better, but more isn't always better.
Right. But then at the end of the day, we also have to realize, what are the things that I'm doing that already make me a good dad, that make me a good mom, that make me a good provider, that make me a good friend, that make me a gentleman or a lady that I am doing, that I can just improve upon just a little bit more than I was yesterday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I'm reading Atomic Habits, like, we got to spend like an entire episode on this book.
That's great. I love it.
Everything about this book, I'm thinking about the Gentleman Project and the podcast and thinking, oh my, you know, this is how my brain works.
Yeah.
And he's like showing me the blueprints to my brain is kind of how I feel about that book, going, oh yeah, that's why I do that. And that's why I do that. And that's why that became a habit. And the system, you know, they talk about setting a goal or having a system. The system for me was the Gentleman Project. It wasn't, I want to be a better dad. The system was, every night, just have a little discussion with your boys about being a better person, about setting an ideal of who they want to be. And the system reached the goal, right? The goal takes care of itself as long as you just do the system just a little bit every day.
Well, you always think, oh, I want to be a better dad. Well, what does that entail?
Right.
You know, you
nebulous.
There's so many things. Look, like I said, my kids are young. You guys have teenagers, right?
Right.
How many things are they involved in? How busy are these teenage kids now? You know, I mean, I have friends that, most of my friends have teenage kids, right? Like, we're way behind. All our kids are just younger. So I get to watch, you know, I got a group of buddies that live in the neighborhood, and we talk, and I watch them, and their kids are junior high school age. And, you know, I try to learn from their wins, their mistakes, but they're so busy. Like, does this kid ever have a chance to sit back and think about what's happening or think about what he's doing or what she's doing? And so, you know, I get kind of to watch the plays happen before me and think, okay, well, yeah, they got to be involved. They got to be active, but how active do they really have to be? And so it's,
yeah. Where's that balance of being an involved person and
it's good
and being overwhelmed,
better, best, or whatever that saying is? Like, there's just so much good they can be involved in, but when is enough enough?
I think that's interesting. I'm going to think about that more, because, like, as an executive in a company or an entrepreneur or whatever, you learn over time. You've got to spend time thinking about the business, like being strategic, right? Like, where do I want to go? How am I going to get there? And am I seeing the market the way it is, or am I just running on this tactical treadmill of getting things done? Right. And if you don't take a break from the tactical and really become good at strategic, you can't really run a great business. And I think family life is the same way.
Same.
You know, I mean, like, you got to take some time to slow down and think strategically. But I haven't taught my kids to do that, which is kind of what you brought up. Like, when are we giving our kids a chance to say, what do I really want? And is this what I really want to do? And, you know, what do I want to do different in my life? And so, I mean, we kind of talk about that as a family, but not per kid's life, which I think would be a cool thing.
We often talk about working on our business, not in our business. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but for me personally, this podcast is me getting out of the day-to-day being a dad and going, okay, like, what goals can I set? What can I learn from this person that I can go home and try and take home? So for me, that's what this podcast has become. Selfishly, it's become my way to work on my family, not in my family, because you have so many routines and habits when you're at home that you just go, oh yeah, oh, and it's time for bed already.
Yeah. I mean, I get home from work 6, okay, give or take. Kids are, you know, we have dinner. We got, you know, the whole bedtime routine. They go to bed earlier. So when I break it down, it's like, well, I got 30 minutes today, bud. You know, that is not a lot. And so I got to engage in those 30 minutes. And
what do you do in those 30 minutes? That was that was exactly why I started writing the Gentleman Project with my boys.
Yeah. I mean,
I said I had 15 to 30 minutes every day. Like, right? How am I going to make an impact on this life?
Yeah.
If that's all I have.
obviously I spend more time at work during the day than I do with my boys, but it doesn't mean work's more important.
Right.
It just means I got to do that to create the kind of support, security, whatever it is for those boys and for Melissa. But it's those 30 minutes, they have to be valuable. And so whatever the conversation is, whatever the activity is, and maybe it's playing Legos tonight because they're so excited to show me that this car they built today or whatever. And they got to know that I'm interested because I mean, we've all heard this, but if I'm not interested in the little things that they share with me, they're not going to be interested to share the big things too.
Amen.
And we don't have big things now with them, but we will.
Yeah.
There will be problems.
Yeah. And it will come definitely will. Faster yeah. than you anticipate.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as you look back in your last 5 years as a dad, are there things that you go, oh, I wish I would have done this a little different? Or are there things that were super hard for you, or has it been pretty good?
As far as things that have been hard, so years ago, this was probably 2 years ago, we were at my in-laws. We were in my father-in-law's shop. He's got a big shop, you know, and we're just chatting, BSing about something. And I look over, my boy's just laying flat on his back. What are you doing, Gus? So I go over there, and it's lights out. Like, he's not there. And so, you know, I pick him up. I'm like, Gus, like, come on, bud. So we pick him up. We run over to the house and they call 911. And, you know, luckily, essentially he wakes up. I don't know what happened. I don't know why it happened. I don't know how. We didn't give him CPR. We didn't nothing, but he's back. From that moment, the lesson was, you know what? I'm going to screw up a lot doing this dad thing. But the time's short. So don't dwell on the mistakes. Don't dwell on the problems. Just look at the problem, face it, fix it, and let's get on with it. Because, I mean, he's already five. My oldest boy is already five, and I feel like the first 30-something years of my life was like a flash, and my life only has existed the last 5-6 years. And so, really, I think the biggest thing is, for me, yeah, I'm sure I'm short with them. I'm sure I snap at them, you know, some days after a lousy day of work or something. And I don't even realize it probably. But to just think, look, I screwed up. Let's get on with it. I'm sorry. Let's move forward. Let's be better. Because it's not going to last forever. It's short. Before I know it, they're going to be driving. They're going to be doing their thing. And I'll just be, an extra guy around.
You know, everyone talks about that. My wife and I talk about that now. Everyone says, hey, it's going to go fast. And you're like, yep, I get it. It is going to go fast. And I legit, from when my kids were your kids' age, I legit was like, I'm going to hold on. I'm going to try to make it. I'm going to try to appreciate it. I'm going to try to, you know, and I didn't enough. I did. I did try that, but it was never enough. You, no matter what, you blink and they're teenagers. And I'm sure I'll blink again and they'll be off on their own, you know, but so it's true, you know, like all the pictures, all the little writings, if you journal, journal, man,
yeah.
I would say, I wish I had journaled way more because that's the only way to get it back. It's going to go in the blink of an eye, no matter how hard you hold on.
Yeah.
No matter how hard you try to appreciate it and enjoy it, it's still going to go by in a blink of an eye. And the only way you get it back is we look at these old pictures and we look at old journal entries and you appreciate those a lot more 15 years down the road than you do in the moment, you know?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. And not that I look forward to looking back at the journals cause I'm in the heat of the moment. Right. But yeah, that's right. I'm going to hold on. I'll figure it out, Corey. I'll let you know. We're in a pretty sweet spot here, guys. No diaper bag now. Like,
oh yeah. I would reverse. I would go back to where you're at right now. I would give up a lot to just go back to where you're at right now. It's a golden time.
It's perfect.
Awesome time. Justin, do you think our kids today have it easier or harder than we did when we were their age?
So yeah, I do. I think it's harder. It's different than I would say. I mean, I'm 37. Okay. So I wasn't young. I guess it was a long time ago, but it doesn't seem like it. But as much as it is harder, the challenges are different, but I really think that these kids, they are prepared for this time that they're here. Like, they're here for a reason, this moment in time, but it's still our job to help prepare them for that. I think, you know, we can instill confidence. We can instill their, whether they got to be brave or whether they got to be smart, whatever it may be. But I ultimately believe, and my mother-in-law told me this, and, you know, because we talked to her, like, holy cow, like, you know, I'm involved with the young men in our neighborhood. So I get to be around teenagers a lot. And just like, geez, like, that's a nightmare, the things that they have to deal with. And so how can I prepare my boys? And she just told us one day, look, they're here for a reason, and now is the time. It's your job to just build them up, give them the confidence, and encourage them so they're ready for it. But, yeah, it's harder, but they're ready. They're here for a reason.
A realistic but positive answer. I like it.
Totally. Justin, you mentioned earlier that, you know, you get emotional about three things, right? It was like your family and your wife. And the other thing you mentioned, though, was like our freedom, our nation. Someone sang the national anthem. Talk to us about that. Why is that so important to you and such something so close to you?
So, yeah, it's my three F's, right? I don't know if those are my grades in school, but family, faith, and then freedom. There's probably a lot of aspects that go into it, but growing up, my dad was in the military. And so there was several instances where he was gone for military reasons. And so at a very young age, I learned to respect that. Both my grandfathers were in the military. My mom's dad was a POW in World War II. And so at a very young age, I learned the importance of living in America and the value and the opportunity that it is that we have to be here. It's not like other places, and it's not like other places for a good reason. You know, my dad can tell stories about being in Africa, and just it's wild. The opportunity and the gift and the blessing that we have to live the way we want, worship, whether you want to go to church, whether you don't want to go to church, you can do anything you want in America, and you can succeed if you just do it. The fact that I was lucky enough to be born here, raised here, is huge for me. It's very important. It's not lost on me. It's not something that I want to take for granted. You know, it's Kirk does this. I don't know if he still does it, but he was involved in this deal where they put out a flag for someone that passed. And I don't even know if you've talked about it on this episode.
We had Jenny on the podcast.
Yes, Jenny. Yeah. That's right. And so I love being able to take my boys to this flag every year, you know, in the fall, and share with them what the stripes mean, what the stars mean, what this flag represents to us and the blessing that it is to just essentially live the way we want to live and how lucky we are. I mean, it's purely, it's a blessing, and I'm super grateful to be here in America.
Me too.
Amen.
Amen, brother. We take too much for granted every day, and the freedoms and blessings that we enjoy. So wanted to say thanks for your family's service. We'll extend our thanks to them. I know that many of our listeners would raise their hand and say thanks as well.
Well, one of the things, Justin, that we ask all our guests, as you know, is what does it mean to you to be a gentleman? So we'd love to ask you that question.
I thought about a lot of things, but to me it's love. And I think love is an action word. It's not like I love you, I love my boys, I love my wife, I love my relationships with friends or whatnot. But if I don't do something about it, whatever it may be, teach my kids, love my wife, take her out, whatever it may be, if I'm not putting the action and the effort into that love, then it's empty to me. So ultimately, it's love. Love equals action.
I love that. Sounds like a title of a podcast to me.
I think you got it right there.
Hopefully some of those conversations that you had with your wife were strengthening conversations as you got ready for the podcast. That was a neat experience. I hope someday that your boys listen to this podcast and know how much you love them, because you can just see it like emanate from you from across the room that these boys are your everything.
It's true. And Melissa, Gus, and Wes, they mean everything, and I'm beyond grateful for this this podcast. It's awesome. I look forward to it every week. So thank you guys.
Well, thank you for being with us, and Corey, thanks for introducing us again. Thanks for joining us on the Gentleman Project podcast today. Thank you, Justin Stewart, for joining us. If you have enjoyed the podcast today, if somebody's name popped into your head that might enjoy the podcast today, act on each good thought. Forward the podcast to them. Share it with them. It's an easy share. We're on social media, so you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and share it with the people that you care about. Thank you for taking the time investing with us today to listen to the podcast. We hope that you have got some value out of it today. We love doing the podcast, and it's been a big blessing in our lives. Hope that you enjoy it and make it a part of your habits in the new year.
Keep being and raising, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, everyone.